Hey, welcome back. This is episode 97 of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. I'm talking 10 promises to make yourself for next school year. Cool. By the way, did you realize what I said? We're at episode 97. That means at the conclusion of this episode, we are only 3 episodes from the big 100. That's right, 100, 100, 100. Cool. Been working a long time for this. We're almost there. Just wait. It's right around the corner. By the way, did you know that we are now live on Google Play Music? That's right. Now you Android users out there can go straight to Google Play Music, and you'll find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Thanks for being here today. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Okay, so today I'm talking 10 promises to make yourself for next school year. Number 1, get to know more kids by name sooner. Number 2, make more positive contacts home. Number 3, create a blog. Number 4, learn to use interactive boards with the kids. Number 5, emphasize vocabulary. Number 6, plan backwards. Start with the end in mind. Use a unit plan. Number 7, get better at giving instructional feedback. Number 8, use formative assessment more frequently. Number 9, use charts with formative assessments, especially whiteboards. Number 10, create more engaging activities. All right, so there's my top 10 promises to make yourself. So let's go in a little bit more detail. Number 1, I said, is get to know more kids by name sooner. If you want to connect with kids, you've got to know them, which means that you've got to use their names. The sooner, the better. Use their names, especially focus on the kids who are quiet and automatically remove themselves from the class. Hey, that would be me. I would have been that kid. And I was difficult to get to know. I was a nice kid. I did my work, but I also removed myself from the class. You had to work to get me involved. Practice names in the hallway. Say hi in the classroom. No matter what the age, join them at lunch tables. At least go up and talk. I know, you're worried. They're going to roll their eyes. They don't want me at lunch. You'd be surprised. If you come up and chit-chat with them, as long as you don't interfere with them finishing their food, you might have some pretty good conversations. And it'll pay off. The more you interact with the kids, the sooner you'll know their names. The quicker you'll connect with your kids. So, promise yourself, get to know more kids by name sooner. Number 2, make more positive contacts home. Promise yourself to start the year connecting with the parents. As soon as you get that list of kids, as soon as you get that information that tells you where to connect them, how to connect with them, reach out to them. And one of the coolest ways of doing this is a handwritten note card home. You can buy these at the post office. Now, you don't have to buy them. You can get your principal or PTA. Come on, you can turn on that schmooze button. You can turn on those little puppy dog eyes and say, it would be a good thing for the school if, I sent these postcards home. I'll guarantee you that somebody's going to say, that's not a bad idea. And you'll have all the positive postcards you want. Well, they come already stamped and they're easy to use. And if you put stickers with the addresses, it's not going to take you long just to say, go through there and say, hey, Joel and Martha, looking forward to teaching Steve in my class. Whatever. Hey, glad Steve's in my class. Looking forward to this whole semester. Whatever. Give them some information to start with. Maybe even say something about, hey, looking forward to having Steve in my class. We start Monday morning bright and early. Make sure that he brings a pencil and pen. And you know, if you did the little handwritten note, then the rest of the information could just be stuck on there with a sticker. There's just different ways of doing it, but don't forgo the handwritten part of it. Handwrite a note on there. Your handwriting that says the kid's name, and something nice, and your name. People don't write handwritten notes enough today. They think that emails work just fine. Well, the problem with emails is that tone, we don't watch our tone sometimes. We don't understand that what we meant to say is not what came out. Yeah, listen to that again. What we meant to say is not the way it came out. So, you know, try not to use that email right off the bat. Just remember that positive notes home, if you start off the bat like this, most times that a parent hears from a teacher are only when their kid is in trouble. So if you start off on a positive note, that's a first in itself. So try it. You're going to like it. Well, number one is get to know more kids by name sooner. Number two is make more positive contacts home. Number three is create a blog. Blogs and websites can easily help you help your kids and their parents. Use it to talk about what you did today in class. Keep them informed of what is coming up. Link them to resources for additional help. So many reasons to do this. Also, with interactive boards, you have the power to save work completed on the board directly to your blog or website while you're working on the board. I mean, you could be up there during the class, blah, 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 and you click and save, and you slide it over into your blog. The uses are endless. You can easily make it part of your routines for the day. It's not necessary to write War and Peace, but use it to help kids and parents, you know, get what you are doing and where you're taking them. If they know that you do this, they'll go there. And then, you know, the parents will go there first before they give you a call or an email. And they'll get used to sending their kids there. So you got to update it. You can't just create it and then not do anything with it. You got to make it work. But if you do, you'll love yourself for doing this, man. You will. And your families will love you all the more because it personalizes. It helps them help their children. It helps their children know where to go first. If I ask my child tonight and say, hey, did you have homework today? And they say, I don't know. Go to the blog. That's right. This is the teacher that has the blog. Let's go there. Ha! You do have homework. I knew it. Get your rear end over here. Let's get working on this. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's just any number of ways. Let's say that you have something, some activity going on where they might need more help. So you provide some YouTube clips or you provide, you know, maybe you record your voice during the class so that then you can put little clips of your voice. It's very simple to do this. And it's free to do it. It's a version, it's not really an audio podcast, but you can save your voice in MP3 type files. And then the parents can hear you with some instructions. Cool ideas. So, if number one is get to know more kids by name sooner, number two is make more positive contacts home, number three is create a blog. Don't wait, do it. Number four is learn to use interactive boards with the kids. Speaking of interactive boards, promise to learn how to use them with the kids. If you have one of these amazing devices, don't use it like it only belongs to you or that it's just a very expensive 1970s pull-down screen for an overhead projector. Most producers of these devices have online resources and places where teachers post interactive lessons they have created. They are there for you to download and make your own. You don't have to create the wheel. There are so many amazing teachers who have created fantastic child-centered lessons that they are willing to share. You could start using that interactive board with the kids tomorrow if you started working on it tonight. Number five promise to make yourself is emphasize vocabulary. Promise yourself that you will become more focused on emphasizing the academic vocabulary as well as use more effective practices for building a child's academic word storehouse. This is so important because if they don't get the words, they don't get the content. And so some kids are so good at faking it. They'll look you in the eye and you'll swear they understand it. But if you don't spend some time with the vocabulary, even your top most kids are going to struggle with some of those words and what their meanings are. And if they can't, if they don't understand what they mean, then they can't use them. So you've got to spend time. Now, that doesn't mean go backwards in time and start doing just these memorizing word lists. That's not it. Matter of fact, I encourage you to check out Laura Robb, and I'll put a link to an interview I had with her. Laura Robb created a book called Vocabulary is Comprehension. And so when you listen to my podcast interview with her. You're going to hear her talk about the lesson plans that she has there. The point is that you need to emphasize vocabulary, and you need it to do it the correct way. Another resource to look at for emphasizing vocabulary is to take a look at using interactive word walls. Now, a lot of teachers will put words on the wall, and they'll call it a word wall because, you know, basically you'll get to the bottom of it, and they'll say, well, my principal made me do this. Now, come on, don't do that. That's not what it's about. Do you know how many ESOL or ELL teachers use this strategy to help accelerate their kids and their understanding of English? Well, you should be using it in your classroom also. And there are many different ways of doing this. So I'll create a link to my Pinterest board that takes you to many positive ways of using interactive word walls. All right. So if my number one promise is get to know more kids by name sooner, my number two promise is make more positive contacts home, my number three promise is create a blog, my number four promise is learn to use interactive boards with the kids, my number five promise is emphasize vocabulary, my sixth promise is plan backwards with a unit plan. Start with the end in mind. You should be planning backwards, starting with where you are going and then designing the lessons from there. This requires the use of unit plans. There are so many wonderful templates for creating plans that will help you stay focused on the big picture. Think about it. If you know where you're trying to take the kids, it makes it so much easier to do your daily plans to personalize what's going on in the classroom. Now, I'll also link you to my Pinterest board where I have templates of some pretty good unit plans, as well as some information about planning backwards and the idea of starting with the end in mind. You know, commonalities of these types of plans are the name of the unit, the estimated time frame, the essential question and sub or key questions, essential vocabulary, how will you know if the kids get what you're doing, what engaging activities will you use to drive instruction, what instructional methods will you use to keep the kids learning, and what can be eliminated if you get behind. And if you do that in the beginning, you know where you're trying to take the kids so that if you start getting off track, you're able to get yourself back on track. Now, your daily plans are based upon the unit plans. These are used for the more personal info about the kids. What you will do on Monday when the kids don't get it. Important info learned from the last formative assessment that requires you to back up and try again or to create small groups. I so encourage you. My number six promise is plan backwards with a unit plan. Start with the end in mind. If you start with the end in mind, you know where you're going. You know where you're trying to get them. And that means you're going to know when you're getting them to get there. And when you're not. Well, my number seven promise is get better at giving instructional feedback. Kids get better with quality instructional feedback that is timely. Now, you got to understand what timely means and know the difference between judgmental instructional feedback. And then you got to practice. And just as a note, let's talk about timely for a second. If we're giving instructional feedback, one of the ways to get better at it is to be better at giving it back sooner. Because if it takes you a week to 10 days to give back feedback, and heaven forbid anything beyond that, that's not timely and that's no good, because once you get beyond just a couple of days, the younger the kid is, the worse it is. I mean, you can't even go, in some cases, you know, more than a day with the younger kids. You've got to get feedback to them about what they did right, how to help them get better at what they're doing, so that they understand what they missed, what they did wrong. Because keep in mind that giving assessments, giving assignments, giving projects, it's all about helping them understand the content better, understanding whatever the big picture is on a higher level. Well, they can't do that. They can't get better at it if you don't give them quality feedback. Well, part of quality not only means timely, but it also means that it's instructional. You've got to be able to give them information that tells them, if you say good job, then explain what was a good job about it. If you give them a smiley face, then you need to give some explanation about why they got the smiley face. Because by themselves, a red X, any color X, a smiley face, a good job, that doesn't really help them. They just know that they did something right, but they don't know what it is. So promise yourself you're going to get better at giving instructional feedback. Well, my number eight promise is use formative assessment more frequently. Make yourself this promise. I will plan to use formative assessment more frequently to learn what the kids know and don't know and use that information to make adjustments and personalize my instruction. I will give you a couple of links to previous podcast episodes where I talk about formative assessment, what it is, and give you links to some of the tools that you can use for formative assessments. Formal assessments are purposeful. You know, you plan to do them, and they are key to understanding what you need to do to address what the kids don't know and what they do know. You know, where not to keep wasting time, where you can move on, that type of thing, as well as where you need to spend more time. Perfect tools for helping kids get it. Well, so far, we've gone through my number one promise, get to know more kids by name sooner. My number two promise, make more positive contacts home. My number three promise, create a blog. My number four promise, learn to use interactive boards with the kids. Number five promise, emphasize vocabulary. Number six promise, plan backwards with a unit plan. Start with the end in mind. My number seven promise, get better at giving instructional feedback. My number eight promise, use formative assessment more frequently. Well, number nine is use charts with formative assessments, especially when using mini whiteboards. If you don't write it down, you won't remember what the kids did or didn't do. Use charts as you walk around and write down your own commentary so you can remember what they did or didn't do. These will work great with stickies, whiteboards, and such. And I'll also give you links within my Pinterest boards where you can find some examples of this. I also have a podcast interview with a first grade teacher who does this wonderfully. But if you don't write the information down, so like if you have them doing work in many whiteboards and you don't have some sort of chart that you keep note of whether Steve gets it or not, or how well Steve is getting it, or whether Steve needs some help, you know, you could have three simple categories: gets it, doesn't get it, or getting there, you know, and then a place for comments. Very simple. But you'll see, I'll link to an example of that as well as other possibilities for looking at charts that you could easily create to help you remember what the kids were doing or not doing, getting or not getting. Well, my number 10 promise then is create more engaging activities. Evaluate yourself. Ask yourself, how can I be more engaging? Look back over your plans from the year, from the semester, whatever the time frame is, and say, did I do okay at sparking their brains and making the light bulb go on and creating some opportunities for them to go, you know, this is pretty cool. I want to do more of this. Or didn't I? Did I get to that point where some kids were saying, wow, I want to do more of this? Yes or no? I mean, if you're the one critiquing yourself, it's just you. So you don't have to lie to yourself, right? So let's think about some ways that you could get a little more creative in that engagement area. How about if you ask yourself, do you have wow? What activities could you create that maybe involve dirt? Kids always love dirt. Could you figure out how to bring dirt into the equation or go outside around the classroom and you create some activity that helps them connect what you're doing inside with what's outside? By the way, if you do that, please make sure the parents know to send them on that day in clothes if they don't mind getting dirty, as well as if they're allergic to, you know, ants or, you know, any sort of other thing to let you know. believe me, lesson learned. How about an experiment that would create something or a reaction? You know, something happens as a result of doing this or that. How about you teach them deductive and inductive reasoning and they come to conclusions about a situation? You know, your own version of CSI or Sherlock Holmes. How about in a government class, they come up with something that needs addressing and pursue it? You know, for example, a dangerous path across a busy expressway that kids have to walk across to get to school. Just an accident waiting to happen. Or maybe the cleanup of a dangerous park, or they come up with a cost savings proposal. How about build, launch, report on what happens, like with rockets or cars or some such cool thing? You know, oftentimes many kids have not ever interacted with these types of things. So then you could add in some higher level thinking questions, like if we do this and this is, and this happens, what if we added wind and the wind was coming at an 80 degree angle at this velocity, whatever. Introduce the math then and not just the science. Oh, my goodness, you're going to have them eating out of your hand. How about use interactive whiteboards with the kids the way they were meant to be used instead of big, expensive movie screens? You know what I'm talking about. Create the interactive situations like uncovering the words or uncovering the path or connecting with someplace else in the world. You know, there's different ways you can use those interactive whiteboards that goes way beyond just using the markers or way beyond just showing words on the surface. How about a 360 interactive web-based field trip? Ah, oh, so cool. And you can do these. They exist out there. You can find the links for them. You can take them to all these places they've never gone before. How about connecting with a school in another district, state, or country? You could put them up on the board and you could talk to them through your web-based links. How about shoot for the moon, re-engage their brains and excitement about learning? There are so many types of things. I mean, think about one of the things that comes to mind when I think about engaging activities is the old TV show called Magic School Bus. Climb on the Magic School Bus. Okay, I'll work on the song. But, you know, you had Mrs. Frizzle who talked about how learning, you know, you get dirty doing that. That it, you know, it takes time and it's fun. Now, you might not have a magic school bus that can shrink you down to 6 inches or take you out into the deep blue sea, but you can sure, if you approach what's going on in your class and you spend some time, I'll bet you can create those things that make the brain go, wow, dude, that was awesome. I want more. Because that's what it's all about. I mean, all the way up forever. Think about it. As little kids, we get excited about the easiest, the simplest of things. And somehow that gets kind of tossed out of us, burned out of us, bumped out of us. Well, if we spend time adjusting our instruction so that we create more engaging activities, we're going to recharge those batteries and the kids are going to want to do more. And yeah, they're going to worry about being dorky and whatever word they use instead of that word. But you're going to find out that their brain's going to overcome that worriedness about being dorky because everybody's going to be excited about it. Cool, dude. They're going to have a blast. And you're going to engage their brains. So today I'm talking about 10 promises to make yourself for next school year. Those 10 promises are the following. Number one, get to know more kids by name sooner. Number two, make more positive contacts home. Number three, create a blog. Number four, learn to use interactive boards with the kids. Number five, emphasize vocabulary. Number six, plan backwards. Start with the end in mind. Use a unit plan. Number seven, get better at giving instructional feedback. Number eight, use formative assessment more frequently. Number nine, use charts with formative assessments, especially mini whiteboards. Number 10, create more engaging activities. I challenge you to make yourself these promises. You don't have to do all 10 of them, but if you look at that list and you at least promise yourself that I'm going to look at creating, putting this into my plans or doing this in my classroom or making sure that I talk to more kids and learn their names faster, it's going to pay off for you. I challenge you to do that. Remember, 10 promises to make yourself for next school year. Number one, get to know more kids by name sooner. Number two, make more positive contacts home. Number three, create a blog. Number four, learn to use interactive boards with the kids. Number five, emphasize vocabulary. Number six, plan backwards. Start with the end in mind. Use a unit plan. Number seven, get better at giving instructional feedback. Number eight, use formative assessments more frequently. Number nine, use charts with formative assessments, especially with mini whiteboards. And number 10, create more engaging activities. So don't wait. Make those promises. And this evening, go ahead and jot down some ideas you have so that you don't have to be out of school yet before you start working on it. Thanks for listening. Have a great, great day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.